When it comes to philanthropy, as counterintuitive as it sounds, smaller can be better. Giving USA, the country's annual report on philanthropy, found that over half of the $410 billion given last year, $286 billion came from individuals. Foundations are way behind that at $67 billion. So how do you start if you want to do small donations? Well, Ben and Donna Rosen say maybe join with others to make your dollars go further. Ben Rosen and his wife Donna have been on both ends of the giving spectrum. He's the former longtime head of Compaq, has donated millions to big causes, including funding a bioengineering center at Caltech after a 40-second elevator pitch. We want to hear about that. But now the Rosens have come up with a fundraising festival focusing on small gifts to places like homeless shelters and soup kitchens in Litchfield County, Connecticut, where they live. Ben and Donna Rosen now join us from their home. And Ben, I want to start with you. About that elevator pitch, we understand you've been on many boards, including one at Caltech. When you got on an elevator, someone got in behind you, and 40 seconds later, you and Donna agreed to build a biotech center. What happened in that elevator?
I held the elevator, and in walked the provost of the university, Ed Stolper. And he said, "Ben, we have a new bioengineering center going up at Caltech, and we'd like you to get involved if it's of interest." And it was great interest because my wife and I think this is one of the most promising ways to help society in the future is through new bioengineering solutions to our various maladies. And by the time the elevator reached, I think, the fourth floor, we had shaken hands on a donation.
Of $18 million.
It was.
Yeah, very generous of you. And yet I can hear people saying, "Oh, but how can I get in an elevator with the Rosens, you know, somewhere?" How did you and your wife move from those huge donations for big think projects to realizing that maybe somebody around the corner could use your help?
Well, the reason we switched is we ran out of money. We wanted to give all our money away while we were still alive. And I'm 85 years old. Of course, my wife is decades younger. But we still felt there were a lot of charitable needs of a different kind. So we decided to start a conference that would generate money by people paying for tickets to attend this every year. And we would give all the surplus proceeds to small charity, and these are organizations that cater and serve people in need. So as opposed to the large type of educational organizations and cultural organizations and medical organizations, we wanted to go to the little charities, the ones that are overlooked.
When you say we ran out of money, a lot of people are purposely giving away their money. Were you joking, though, when I read somewhere that you didn't expect to live this long and you gave your money away too soon? Is that true?
No, that's accurate.
Uh-huh. Well, wait. Are you sorry that you gave away, you know, $18 million for biotech?
No, it's much better to enjoy the benefits and successes of philanthropy while you're alive than when you're dead.
So, Donna Rosen, I just have to ask you, did this come as a shock to you when, oh, wait, we've lived longer, in particular your husband has lived longer than we thought we would, and these huge sums of money are gone? I'm just curious about it. I will never know that feeling. And so I'm just, was that a shock to you?
No, I don't think that was a shock. We are certainly have enjoyed a lot of prosperity in our lives, and we've been able to give significant amounts of money to philanthropies that we cherish and feel are doing the greater good. But I'm intending on Ben to live to be 120. You know, so,
well,
and I intend to be around for at least another 25 years. So
you will eke out an existence somehow, but the huge amounts that you were giving away are not there. And now, though, you are still giving money away, but with this new, it's called Kent Presents. It's a festival that's held at the private Kent School for a weekend in the summer. And as your husband was explaining, tickets are sold to people who come. And then how does it work?
Yeah, so the attendees arrive. They're generally staying in the inns around the county. We try to engage as much community service and business as we can. And we've organized a conference that is described as intimate, friendly, gracious, and inspiring ideas at the highest level of conversations.
So the participants buy the tickets to come to this week-long conference. You have speakers. You involve the community with services, which right there's a little bit of a financial boon. And then that money from those tickets is collected. Who does the money go to? How does the money get into the hands of agencies?
We set up a charitable giving committee. Ben and I do not serve on that committee. We asked a friend of ours who's quite well connected in this community to serve as the chairman of that board. He assembled social workers and clergy people from around Litchfield County. After the financial collapse in 2008, we became acutely aware of how this was starting to impact many of the marvelous people that live and work in Litchfield County and have been here for generations, and that there were services that were probably in need of being supported. Mm-hmm. Services such as women's support services, the huge issue with rehabilitation due to the opioid situation. These crises and crisis centers, they're struggling to survive. So we also hope by our gift would also encourage others to be aware of these charities as well.
So we should say that the festival, which was started in 2015, you know, as anything, it needs to grow. And you have both put monies in to keep it going. And last year, it gave $125,000, I think, to local charities. What are some of the groups? You mentioned women's support, fighting the opioid epidemic. What were some of the other groups that received grants? And how big are they?
They range anywhere from $500 up to $10,000. Such things as the corner food pantry, homeless shelters, counseling services for people who have mental health care problems, food for elderly, the Visiting Nurse Association, Literacy Volunteers, Youth Hockey, the Volunteer Fire Department.
Again, you are trying to keep a firewall between you and where the money goes. But have you met any of the recipients or heard from them?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we get marvelous letters, tear-stained letters. It's very touching. You know, it makes it far more meaningful.
So, Ben Rosen, what's that like for you? I'm going to heap some more praise on you. Named by Computer World magazine in 1992, one of the 25 people who changed the world, credited with helping to shape the modern computer industry, backing more than 100 technology startups, including Compaq. You were the head of it for so long, but Lotus, Silicon Graphics. And maybe you're getting a letter, a handwritten letter from, you know, a food pantry. What's that like for you?
Well, first of all, it's gratifying because just thinking back over the last year, we, through this effort, were able to donate to 38 different charities. Donna mentioned some of them. Big Charity has complete visibility. Everybody knows the big charities. And I can now say that almost no one knows the small charities. So it's not just giving them money. It's giving them visibility. It's high on the gratification scale.
Well, in the most recent Kent Presents, you had former Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson, Elizabeth Sussman, a photography curator from the Whitney Museum of American Art, Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes. You know, again, speaking to these people who pay for the tickets that fund the grants that are ultimately given out to people in your area. What can other people do? People who can't get Leslie Stahl to come in, how can people get together to do this?
Well, they can give directly to charities that they hear about. It's hard to get people to give to small charity because they don't hear of them. They don't know of them. And so what we've provided is a way that people can give to dozens at once and help lots at once. I don't recommend that everybody try to start a conference. It's a full-time job, and we're too old for full-time jobs. But we do it anyway.
Well, but I'm thinking, too, that people can maybe not have a conference, but maybe have a raffle. You know, maybe have a potluck supper with a raffle and then have a group that gives the money away so that the money grows.
You're absolutely right. And as soon as they recognize that there's a need and that there are these charities, there are myriad different ways of doing it, whether individually or putting a group together to try to help these groups. You're right.
Yeah. That's Ben Rosen with his wife, Donna Rosen. They've gone from the world of huge donations in the tens of millions of dollars to figuring out ways to get, you know, just dollars into their local community. We'll link you to what they are doing with Kent Presents at hearnow.org. Ben, Donna, thank you so much for speaking with us.
And thank you for having us.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your interest.
And it's been fun reading up on Ben Rosen's career. He helped Steve Jobs and Mitch Kapoor, Lotus, get their funding. Reading an article on Ben Rosen from 1999, his very successful life is described as cake coated with an especially thick layer of frosting. Obviously, he and his wife had decided to cut that cake and share it.